Wanda, would you read our scripture that we've been reading for ever?
1 Corinthians, the second chapter, the 16th verse. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen. We've been sharing for several weeks. We have the mind of Christ. Therefore, we can see things and each other through the eyes of the Lord. You know, he sees the church, his bride, without spot or wrinkle. What an awesome thing to think that we are without spot or wrinkle. The church, that's what the Bible says. That's what the Lord says. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Praise God. That's the way Jesus sees us. And we can see, we have the mind of Christ, so we can see as he sees. Amen? And we've been talking about that the Lord has given us, placed within us, seven desires, seven longings inside of us. We've been going through them. That God has put in us. And we're to enjoy the Lord. One of the things is God wants us to enjoy him. It says in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6, the Shulamite, in verse 5, it says, I am dark, but lovely. You know, God reveals, is revealing to the bride, the darkness, but also revealed to her how lovely she was in his sight. You know, the Lord shows us some of the junk we got in our lives. But he also says and reveals how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how lovely you are in his sight. You know, we talked about there's four reasons why we are beautiful and lovely to God in the midst of our immaturity. You know, when we look at people in the natural and we see them immature, we don't think they're beautiful, do we? Amen? But that's not the way God looks at us. He sees us as beautiful and lovely to God in the midst of our immaturity. How does that happen? We talked about it. By the finished work of the cross. We're lovely in his sight because of the work of that he did on the cross. And at new birth, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he puts within us a willing spirit. A willing spirit that we say, yes, Lord. We say, yes, Lord. And it says in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 9, it says, you have ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse, you have ravished my heart, and with one look of your eye, you've ravished his heart. And when we say, yes, Lord, it ravishes his heart. As he looks at you and says, wow, my beautiful bride. Praise God. So God does that for us. And the first longing we talked about is knowing that we are enjoyed by God. We are enjoyed by God. Dark yet lovely. He loves us. He loves us so much. The next longing or we talked about was being wholehearted and passionate. Being wholehearted and passionate. You know, we talked about that one of the greatest problems with the church in America is the lack of wholeheartedness. We need to pray. We need to ask God. Put in our spirit that we're wholehearted. But it says that he's given us this longing to be wholehearted. Wholehearted to God. Praise God. The next longing was being fascinated and filled with wonder. There's a desire. God put it in us for us to be fascinated, to be filled with wonder, to be awestruck and to marvel at his beauty, at his holiness, at his awesomeness. That scripture in Psalms 27 verse 4 that David prayed, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." I don't know about y'all, but that one scripture to me just, one thing have I desired that I could seek after, to sit in the house of the Lord and to behold his beauty and to behold him. I want to share something sometimes. At home, you need to put on some, I'm not talking about that jumping, jiving worship music. I'm talking about some of the quiet worship music, and meditate in the Lord and just ask him to reveal, give you a revelation of his beauty. Give you a revelation of his awesomeness. Praise God. When you do that, sometimes you just get overpowered by the beauty of the Lord. Amen? Praise God. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 9 and 10, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him." Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, of the things that God has prepared for you. For each one of you. For each one of us. I mean, he has prepared some stuff that would just, if we just stop long enough and listen and look what he has for us, it'll blow us away. The next longing or desire that he's placed in us is the longing to possess beauty. We are members of the bride of Christ. We are members of the bride of Christ. And Christ puts upon us his beauty. Praise God. It says, and we talked about it last week, in Philippians, the third chapter, verse 21, says, "Who has transformed our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working which he is able even to subdue all things to him." He is giving us the same, his resurrected body. We'll have his beauty here. You know, when people come to know the Lord and they're filled with the Spirit of God, they're beautiful. The inner beauty shines out and overcomes, and they become more beautiful than they are. Amen? I mean, I know some pretty, some pretty women. But when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you become more beautiful. Amen? I've known some people, men and women, when they're filled with the Spirit of God, even though they're not pretty in the natural, they're beautiful. Amen? And us ugly men are become more handsome. Amen. Praise God. The Father has made beautiful a bride for his Son. The city of God is called the bride because it inhabits those people who are going to govern it. Then the fifth longing is the longing for success. As the bride of Christ, we have the highest position of honor and authority in eternity. A position far above all the angels. You know, we think the angels are something else, don't we? We're above the angels. Praise God. Wanda, read Revelations, the 3rd chapter, verse 20 and 21. I know I get her, I shake her up all the time. Yes, Revelation 3, verse 20 and 21.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne.
Amen. He's given us a bridal partnership wherein we will sit with him in power, privilege, and position as his eternal co-heir. We are co-heirs with him, and we sit with him in heavenly places. Praise God. You know, the bride of Christ is the queen of heaven because she's married to the King of Kings. You need to start thinking about, I am the bride of Christ. I know that's kind of hard for some of us men to think that we're the bride. That's what the word says. We are the bride of Christ because we're married to the King of Kings. We're priests and we're kings. And as priests, we are wholehearted lovers. But as kings, we are indeed in the government of the city of God. We're there with him, ruling and reigning with him. And we closed last week with one of the longings is making an impact on others. It's a desire that God has put in us that we want to make an impact on others. We want to go pray for others. We want to go share with others. We were talking about that we need to, and we prayed a prayer that we would be open and seeing in the Spirit, praying for people out there in the street. You know, we don't have to just pray for healing right here in this church or in the healing rooms. Praise God for that. But we need to be open to praying for them at the Walmart, at the HEBs, at anywhere else. And watch, God is in the place of touching people. And we need to be, who's he going to touch people through? His kids. Praise God. The last longing is for intimacy without shame. I want Wanda to read Genesis, the 2nd chapter, verse 24 and 25.
Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
You know, Adam and Eve were together. They were naked and unashamed. They were married partners in the flesh. Christ and his church are married partners in the realm of the Spirit. Read Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 30 and 32.
For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
I mean, we use this scripture for marriage. But Paul is saying, he's speaking of Christ and the church. The verse refers to the marriage union between Jesus, Christ, and the church. Jesus is joined to us, his adoring bride, in the most powerful expression of divine intimacy possible. He's joined to his church. To be naked and unashamed means that all secrets have been unveiled and there's no shame. That's what it meant in Genesis when Adam and Eve, they were naked. There's no secrets. Not holding anything back. God trusts us. Wow. I mean, this kind of blows me away sometimes to think about it. God trusts us with the secrets of his heart. The secrets he doesn't even share with the angels he's given to us, his bride. It says in 1 Peter 1, verse 12, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, that they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which the angels desire to look upon. And he's given us the secrets. He's given, because he loves you. You're special to him. You're somebody. Sometimes it's hard for us to get through our thick skull, amen? That we're somebody. That he loves you so much. That he enjoys being with you. That he cares about it. Do you realize who you are? God has chosen you, his bride. What is saying in 1 Peter here, his bride to teach his secrets to the angels. Wow. If that doesn't excite you to think that, man, God is giving me his secrets. Because I am the bride of Christ. I'm part of the bride. Not that I am the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. Amen? And he's giving us, and he says there'll be no shame. There'll be intimacy. Because he's revealing the secrets, his secrets. There's no secrets between us and God. No secrets. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is inviting you to enter into a romance. The love song of a heavenly bridegroom and his waiting bride. This romance of the gospel will thrill your heart and satisfy the longings deep within you. He's inviting you. This is the key to happy holiness. Doing what God tells us to do, we ought to be happy and rejoicing. Amen? It's not drudgery. It's happiness. Because he's imparting happy holiness. The pleasure of holiness. The pleasures of God are a banquet set before us. A table of spiritual delights that once tasted deliver us from the emptiness of seeking earthly pleasures. You know how you get cured of seeking earthly pleasures? Just fall in love with him. All that junk is unimportant anymore. Amen? It doesn't make any difference. You know, warning, something that it took me a while to learn. Warning people about the social and spiritual consequences of sin will not cause them to reject pornography, greed, lying, stealing, cheating. Because when we're tempted to sin, we usually already know the, the negative risk of the shame that we face. Have you ever thought about why we sin? Sin produces immediate pleasure. It gives a physical, spiritual, and an emotional rush. We do not sin out of obligation. We sin because we believe that it will provide a pleasure that is superior to the pleasure of obedience to God. The power of temptation rests on a deceptive promise that sin will bring more satisfaction than living for God. You know, the power of temptation rests on a deceptive promise that sin will bring more satisfaction than living for God. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 22, it says, "Put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust." You know how you win the battle of temptation? As we enjoy God. When you fall in love with Him, when you fall in love with Jesus, when you fall in love with Him, you're not going to be tempted to sin. You're not running after that. Why do we sin? We sin because we enjoy the pleasure it brings. You know, John Piper says, "Sin is what we do when our hearts are not satisfied with God." I want to repeat that. Sin is what we do when our hearts are not satisfied with God. God Himself designed us as a very needy creatures. He placed within us hunger and thirst, some emotional, some mental, some spiritual, and some physical. God's presence is the only place where the hunger soul finds true satisfaction. In His presence is fullness, joy fulfilled, and eternal pleasure overflowing. As we fall in love with Him, as we sit, as David said, "One thing have I desired, that I can sit in His temple, that I can sit and behold His beauty, His joy." In His presence is fullness. Joy fulfilled and eternal pleasures overflowing. The only thing that will ultimately break the power of sin is passion for Jesus. You know, we can go through all the programs. You got all these programs to help people. You know what the main program is? Passion for Jesus. Falling in love with Him. God's calling us to the like of pleasure. You know, holiness is not drudgery. God calls us to a holiness that fully releases infinite and perfect pleasure to us. Praise God. It says in Psalm 16, verse 11, "You will show me the path of life. In Your presence is fullness of joy." In His presence is fullness of joy. When we have His, we're in His presence, we have His joy, sin doesn't even enter in. It doesn't entice us. It doesn't entice us because we've got Him. Amen? You know why in Hebrews 11th chapter it says in verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter." He refused that. He looked beyond because he saw the beauty of God. Didn't say that he saw the beauty, but I know what he's seeing. He was seeing like David saw the beauty of God. And when we in Him, we have fullness of joy. In Him. And I want to encourage you. I just want to encourage each one of us to sometimes spend a little time, a quiet time. Spend a little quiet time. And just ask God to reveal His beauty. His, give us a revelation of how beautiful you are. And your joy and your beauty. Amen? Can we do that? I just want to encourage us. Encourage you to do that. Can you say, yes, Pastor? Yes. I'm going to spend some time with God. I mean, we can get so busy. I'm the number one culprit of busy. Nan keeps telling me, slow down. Then I want to start something else. But we need to have time with Him. That's the reason He wakes you up sometime at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. When you wake up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, don't say, whoa. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Now I get to spend an extra time with you. Amen. What is that about? Amen. He does that. When you haven't been taking out time for Him, He'll wake you up in the morning, a little early. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank You and we magnify You and we glorify You. Lord, we just ask that right now that You would just pour out. Give us a revelation. Give each one of us here this morning a revelation, a greater revelation of Your beauty, of Your holiness. Lord, and Lord, just that You enjoy us so much, that we're so special to You. And Lord, You said that one look of our eye to You just ravishes Your heart. Wow. Lord, when we look at You, it says that Your heart is ravished. And we thank You and we magnify You and we glorify You. Now, Father, we just ask this morning just to give us a special revelation of Your beauty, of Your holiness. And we thank You. And we magnify You. In Jesus' name, amen.